Speaking on this program is Vernon Joins.
This morning we're going to be studying the subject, Open Your Eyes to Greatness. So many people could have great things happen to them in life, and they could have much greater lives if they would just open their eyes and look up and look around them. You know, we have just finished one half of the year 1991. Now, the first half of this year is closed, and it's locked forever. But you know, we have a brand new month and a brand new 6 months left in this year. And the gates have swung open wide. How fortunate we are to have been ushered through these gates to behold the wonderful opportunities that lie within. While there are wonderful opportunities, there are also some mysteries. We don't know just what mysteries are locked up within the confines of the next 6 months of this year. We don't know whether we'll live to see this year in retrospect, or whether the curtain of death will fall upon us before the year has been completed. In Job 24:22, we are told, no man is sure of life. And if there's one thing that I'm sure of, that's it. We do know this, however, that whether we live the rest of this year or only part of it, we will be held responsible for how we use each moment of it. In the remainder of this year that lies ahead, what will prove to be the more important to you than anything else? What values will you be looking for? Or what real worth will you miss? Will your main concern be with things that can feed you or with truths that can lead you? We should learn to discover worth even where others miss it. The art of discovery and the worth is an art worth discovering. A couple was once going through the country looking for antiques, and they stopped at a farm and talked with the farmer. The farmer said that he had no antiques for them, but he did recall that sometime before he had found some old paintings by two artists called Currier and Ives, but having no use for them, he had thrown them away. In horror, the visitors asked if these prints had been destroyed. Yes, admitted the farmer, but I was no fool. I saved the frames, and they have kept us in kindling wood for nearly 2 months. What a shame to see how some overlook priceless values. This farmer thought he was wise, but how foolish he was. He didn't recognize the true worth of something when he saw it. Why censure this man, though, when we are just as blind to some values as he was? He was blind to one value, but we might be blind to even greater values. This farmer was more concerned with the frames than he was with the pictures within the frames. Today, we are often more concerned with earthly frames than we are with the soul within those frames. And how foolish this is. Think of the time we spend in feeding the body. But how much time do we spend feeding the soul? Now, which is more important? We are so busy earning bread to live on that we haven't stopped to realize that man simply cannot live by bread alone. Matthew 4:4. Jesus teaches that feeding the soul is more important than feeding the body. He said, labor not for the meat or food which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. John 6:27. Have we forgotten these words of Jesus also when he said, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Mark 8:36. Be sure you do not overlook the most worthwhile things in your life. Begin right now, while you still have time in this year, by thinking more about the soul. For your soul is the most important thing about you. You and I need to open our eyes to the greatness of Christ. Blindness to worth is no new thing. For people of Jesus' day had the same problem. The Lord once inquired, did you never read in the Scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? Matthew 21:42. Here Jesus was quoting from Psalms 118, verse 22, in which the rejected stone referred to himself. In Christ there was a greatness to which the majority were blinded. In a prophetic way, Isaiah spoke of Christ in this fashion. We hid, as it were, our faces before him, or from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Isaiah 53, verse 3. How many people have hidden their faces from the Lord? It was said of Jesus' persecutors, they looked on him whom they pierced. John 19:37. Though they looked on him, they hid their faces from his greatness. What about today? Some feel no need whatsoever for Christ, and they leave him entirely out of their lives. They think that they can get along just as well without him. And some people are among those whom Paul said had blinded their minds. But he said Satan had done this, 2 Corinthians 3:14. May I suggest that you look again at that stone which you might have rejected and make it the head of the corner in the structure you're building in life. Christ can fill a position that no one else can fill. There is always an emptiness without him, but abundant life through him. John 10, verse 10. We need to open our eyes to the greatness of opportunity. I suppose that one of the most common ways that people commit sin today is to ignore opportunity. Paul once wrote, "For a great and effectual door is open unto me, and there are many adversaries." 1 Corinthians 16:9. With every open door, there is an adversary. To put it another way, there is difficulty with every opportunity, and an opportunity with every difficulty. And you see, it works both ways. When times are bad, many grumble. In fact, that's all some people do. Just grumble and complain, and see nothing but evil in the times in which they live. Some pass them, that is, pass by, in hopeless pessimism, assuming that nothing can be done to redeem the time. Times never get so bad, but that there are opportunities for great living. When eyes are open to greatness, odds can be converted into opportunities. I heard about a man who once backed his truck too far off into the ditch, and the front end of it reared up into the air. Some critic standing by shouted, "Now what are you going to do?" The driver stepped out with a smile. He said, "I think I'll grease it. I never had a better opportunity." This man turned odds into opportunities. And what a lesson for us. A man in Florida turned an old green water swamp into the beautiful cypress gardens. He could see worth where others had passed by and they had missed it. I suggest that we keep our eyes open even to hidden values. Even a defeated moment can give birth to courage and vision. Take Paul, for example. Setbacks became springboards to greater things. He was imprisoned, but he declared, "The things which happened unto me have fallen out rather under the furtherance of the gospel." Philippians 1:12. He believed that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Romans 8:28. And having to do not only with the things that happen to us, but with the purpose of the gospel itself and its purpose in our lives. Even a thorn in the flesh can make a person a better man, as it did the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians 12, 7-12. There is a greatness even in temptation. For James said, "Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations." James 1, verse 2. But the question is, why? Most people wouldn't, would they? Because of the victories that can be achieved for the Lord. Temptation is not so much an opportunity to sin as it is an opportunity to refuse sin. That's the way we ought to look at every temptation that comes our way. You know, this is the greatest opportunity perhaps that we'll ever have to put the devil to flight. If Jesus had not been in the situation that he was in Matthew 4, perhaps we would never have heard those words from Jesus' lips which put the devil to flight. We need to open our eyes to the greatness of faith and hope and love. Don't overlook the value found in the faith God describes. He said, "This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." 1 John 5 and verse 4. Faith can shield us or give us protection from all the fiery darts of the wicked. Ephesians 6:16. We also learn from Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please Him. This faith that we speak of is described as a faith that cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. You see, this is not a feeling that we have. It's something that's real and genuine because of what we have learned from the Word of God. Through a study of the Bible, may we come to have even greater faith, realizing heaven's kingdom is promised to those who are rich in faith, James 2 and verse 5. Then as we think about hope, the hope God describes is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, Hebrews 6:19. How greatly needed such an anchor is in life's fierce storms. And there are many storms that we face every day in our lives if we are endeavoring to live godly lives. Now, those who aren't trying to serve the Lord and to live a godly life perhaps are not having these storms in life. But if you're trying to serve Christ, He says that yea, and all who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. One's hope is no stronger than his faith. Because you see, the two are inseparably connected. Hope is built on faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11:1. Are you then ready to always give a Bible answer for the hope that you have? 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Romans the 8th chapter, verses 24 and 25, we're reminded that we are saved by hope. That's the importance that God places upon hope. What about you? Then there's the matter of love. Remember that Paul, in that great 1 Corinthians letter, chapter 13, verse 13, made this statement. And now abideth faith, hope, love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. Love is the greatest thing in the world, for love never faileth. 1 Corinthians 13:8. During the time of instant miracles, by the power of the Holy Spirit, they had the ability to do many things. And 1 Corinthians points out that these things will pass away and they shall fail, these spiritual gifts. But he says that love never faileth. And above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. Colossians 3:14. Then you can't forget this passage. He that loveth not knoweth not God, but now notice it. For God is love. 1 John 4 and verse 8. Now don't misunderstand. Because God is love, that doesn't mean that He won't punish sin. Just as surely as He is love, He will punish sin. And don't expect Him to just ignore your sins and transgressions and overlook them and forgive them because you want Him to and because God is love. It just doesn't happen that way. We need to open our eyes to the greatness of wisdom. The Bible has a great deal to say about wisdom in both the Old and New Testaments. Solomon tells us, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Proverbs 4 and verse 7. Then again, for wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared with it. Proverbs 8, verse 11. Wisdom is better than strength. Wisdom is better than weapons of war. Ecclesiastes 9, 16 and 18. There is a wisdom that descendeth from above, and there is a wisdom that is earthly. James 3 and 13 and 18. We must not mistake the one for the other. We must learn to distinguish between the two and know which is to be desired. Of course, that would be the wisdom from above. Paul said that some, professing themselves to be wise, became fools. Romans 1:22. The Lord also admonished, be not wise in your own conceits. Romans 12, verse 16. The truly valuable wisdom is the one that is from above. We need to open our eyes to the greatness of the unseen. Are you interested in cash register values or in values that cannot be registered in cash? The unseen carries a value that cannot be registered in cash. The Lord said, "For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." 2 Corinthians 4:18. Which is more important, a word or an idea? You can see a word, but you cannot see an idea. And an idea is more important. Which is more important, a house or a home? A mother's face or the love that is back of it? A brain or a mind? In each case, the unseen is the most important. Turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes. Time was when this book was a puzzle to many people, and perhaps still is. And some people often read it and could see nothing in it, and still can't today, other than pessimism. And, of course, some people say that the reading of the book leaves them despondent. But if that's true, then you've missed the message altogether. To understand it, we must look for the key expression. And the key expression is the phrase, "under the sun." And it occurs more than 30 times in the book. Solomon looked for happiness, joy, and satisfaction and everything under the sun, but he couldn't find it. Each time he would start out for such a search, but he would return and post the verdict: vanity and vexation of the spirit. Finally, Solomon came to the conclusion that to find joy, peace, and satisfaction, one must look beyond the sun, for it could not be found under the sun. If we would enjoy the very best life that is possible, and the best that life has to offer, we must not look for it under the sun. The Scripture says, "Set your affections on things above, not on the things on the earth." Colossians 3:1-3. And that's certainly not under the sun. "Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven." Matthew 6:19-21. And that's not under the sun. If we are in Christ, then we are in Him who is far above all. Ephesians 1:21. And that's beyond the sun. This, then, is the realm of the unseen. And there are true and lasting values to be found there. I challenge you to open your eyes to the greatness of the unseen and set your heart and mind the things that will lift you to the great and wonderful realm. Open your eyes to the greatness of the Lord's church. Some apparently have not seen real value in the church, for they set it aside thinking that it's not necessary in this matter of being saved. This, my friends, is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible tells us that the saved are added by the Lord to the church, Acts 2:47, and Christ is the Savior of the body, the church, Ephesians 5:23. How could we disconnect the church when Christ died for it, when He purchased it with His own blood, when He is the head of it, Acts 20:28, Ephesians 5:23-27, and Colossians 1:18? Why did Christ build it? Was His work in vain? No institution has been preceded by so much planning and so much thought. The church was in the mind of God before times eternal, according to Ephesians 3:8-11. Furthermore, Christ is the head of the body, according to Colossians 1:18 and Ephesians 1:22-23. We learn that the church is the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. How then could one say that the church is not of great value? Who would dare belittle the Lord's church, which is His own body? Ephesians 1:21. To belittle the church is to belittle the idea of being in Christ. For the church is in Christ. Romans 12:5. The church of our Lord is not a denomination. Rather, it is the house of God. 1 Timothy 3:15. No man can be saved outside of it. For the saved are in it. Acts 2:47. If there's no real value in the church, if it isn't worth anything, then there is no real worth in the Lord's blood. For He shed His blood for the church. Acts 20:28. Likewise, there was no real worth in Jesus giving up His life. For He gave it up for the church. Ephesians 5:23-27. If the church has no real value, then there is no real value in our being under the leadership of Christ. For He is the head of the body, the church. Colossians 1:18. May I beg of you to open your eyes to the greatness of the church of our Lord and become a part of it. Simply open your eyes to the greatness of every commandment that the Lord gave. What did the Lord mean when He told us that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God? Matthew 4, verse 4. The Lord has no unimportant precepts. There is a purpose in every request. For who knows better what sinful man needs than does the Lord? If one of God's commands to us can be classed as unimportant, then why cannot every one of them be so classified? Has God given us a list of precepts and left us to decide which ones are important, which ones we will obey? Surely not. For the Lord said, He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that shall judge him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. John 12, verse 48. We must come to see the greatness of the Lord's every command. Without faith, man cannot please God. Hebrews 11, 6. Without repentance, man will perish. Luke 13, 3. The Lord will not confess us before the Father if we refuse to confess Him before men. Matthew 10, 33. Then, too, the Scripture says that baptism doth also now save us. 1 Peter 3, 21. Open your eyes to the greatness of each of these commands, for they all were given by the Lord. I heard about a man who visited the Modern Museum of Art, and he had come to see the greatness of the works of art hung over the best conditions and lighting placed, but instead he was standing peering through a small crack in a screen behind which were some workmen, and they were preparing the gallery for the new exhibit. He defeated the purpose for which he came, being sidetracked by the noise which the workmen made as they worked. How often you and I are sidetracked by the world's noise and defeat the purpose for which we came. Our attention is too often diverted to less important things. Open your eyes to greatness, that you may not be blind to the eternal values that are set forth in the Word of God.